The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Thursday, October the 28th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Well, Governor Brian Kemp could be facing a major challenge from inside his own party. Raul Bali reports.
Former Georgia U.S. Senator David Perdue is considering challenging Governor Brian Kemp. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution is reporting Perdue has called donors and other allies about the idea. Governor Kemp's campaign expressed disappointment about a possible run. Spokesman Tate Mitchell says Perdue had personally told Kemp that he would fully support Kemp's re-election campaign. Perdue is considered a strong ally of former President Donald Trump. Just last month at a rally at the Georgia National Fairgrounds, Trump talked up Perdue.
I don't know. Are you going to run for governor, David Perdue? Are you going to run for governor? Where's David Perdue? Stand up, David. David Perdue. Are you running for governor, David? Did I hear he's running for governor?
Perdue was defeated by now Senator John Ossoff in January after serving one term. Raul Bali, WABE News.
A state review of elections in Fulton County could lead to a state takeover, but so far Fulton County is fully on board with the process. According to Ryan Germany, he is part of the state election board panel.
We have been working well with Fulton County. We've had discussions with Fulton County, with their new board chair, with their attorney, their elections director about how to best approach this. And they have been very cooperative in terms of giving us the access we need and the documents we've requested.
Germany says the panel will be observing Tuesday's elections. This performance review was created by Georgia's new voting law. After the review, the state elections board would have the power to replace the Fulton County Elections Board. The Georgia Supreme Court held a special session to rally for the Atlanta Braves today, complete with the nine justices wearing pearls and World Series hats. Chief Justice David Namias spoke for the court.
The Supreme Court of Georgia sends our best wishes to the Atlanta Braves in their quest to win the World Series. It's been an unbelievable season, and we got the split in Houston. So let's come home to Atlanta and win it all. Together we say,
go Braves!
Almost together. Cobb County is beefing up security ahead of Game 3 of the World Series at Truist Park tomorrow night. It starts at 8 p.m. Alex Helmick has more.
Cobb County is set to spend $350,000 on police overtime, supplies, and equipment. Commissioners approved the measure this week and said they had an advantage in preparing for the World Series after spending time preparing for the Major League All-Star Game this year. Of course, that game got pulled from Georgia by Major League Baseball after state lawmakers passed new controversial voting laws. Cobb police have canceled officer leave and put more units on duty for the World Series. Other departments, including transportation, will also be fully staffed to make sure fans can get in and around the stadium. The security effort includes Major League Baseball security, along with federal, state, and local officials. Alex Helmick, WAB News.
And Atlanta High School is welcoming its new name and larger building. It comes after students protested keeping the former name, Henry W. Grady High School. They say the name was offensive. At what's now known as Midtown High School this week, students hosted a ceremony to usher in the new name. Grady was an Atlanta newspaper editor whom many credit with helping Atlanta's post-Civil War rebirth. But Grady also wrote editorials and gave speeches that ignored the plight of black people in the region. He was an editor and part owner of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Federal regulators now have recommendations for COVID-19 boosters for all vaccines available in the U.S. Data from Israel played a big part in the guidance, says Dave O'Connor, a virologist at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. On today's Did You Wash Your Hands?, our podcast about the coronavirus, he talks with health reporter Sam Whitehead about those recommendations, which O'Connor says are really pretty confusing.
Unfortunately, that's a bit of a problem because it's made it very difficult for people to track and decide what they should themselves do. I think that the best guidance that we have comes from Israel, where they are about 3 months ahead of us. So that means that they're a crystal ball into what we'll see in our future. What they found was that the vaccine started waning and they started seeing more of these breakthrough infections. And that motivated them to start administering boosters first to their older population at the end of July and then to everyone at the end of August. And that is the data that makes people like me really enthusiastic about what the vaccines can do if you get a third dose of the mRNA vaccines at least 5 or 6 months after your first series, or a second dose of the Johnson & Johnson after the same sort of interval.
So as you mentioned, for these two mRNA vaccines, these are the vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna, there's a recommendation for a booster shot after 6 months for people who work in high-risk settings, teachers or healthcare workers, or say people 65 and older. And then for everyone 18 and older who got a J&J shot for their initial series, they have a booster recommended for them. What do you make of these recommendations that we have before us now that have really just solidified in the last week or so?
Well, I think they're overly complex. I think that, you know, there is a strong inertia, a strong gravitational pull towards keeping things the way they are, and that people are resistant and reluctant to make the same sort of bold changes that they made in Israel. And so you end up with incrementalism. Unfortunately, you end up with a bit of a free-for-all in terms of opinions. And depending on, you know, which loudmouth scientist you are hearing on the radio or the podcast or the TV, you get their own viewpoint. The reality is that none of us really know for sure what the best path is. We're all in uncharted territory. We're all looking at largely the same data, and we're drawing separate conclusions. And it's a bit of a scientific free-for-all. Me personally, I look at the Israeli data, and I see that as providing clarity that more boosters is going to be beneficial in multiple ways.
Draw out your kind of belief in boosters and the impact they could have.
Sure. So, you know, let's make a metaphor here because it's kind of been a bit of a free-for-all, kind of like WWE wrestling when you watch the different sorts of viewpoints that are being exchanged, and it can be equally hard to follow. The vaccines are like WWE championship belts. If you don't have one, you should want any of them. And the Intercontinental title, it's a great championship belt to have. You get protection from hospitalization, you get protection from death, but the booster is like the WWE Universal Championship. It's the top one. It gives you all of those advantages that the vaccines have given us before, and it actually makes them better. It still protects from severe disease, hospitalization, and death, and probably does that better, but it also provides protection from becoming infected with the Delta variant in the first place. People who had that third dose were 20 times less likely to have severe disease, and they were 10 times less likely to become infected at all. Mm-hmm. So it acted as a firebreak against becoming infected if you had this third dose. The people who had two doses were still way, way better off than people who were unvaccinated. Unvaccinated people in Israel, still about 30% of the population there, kind of the same number that we see here in the U.S., remained at by far the highest risk group in terms of hospitalization and severe disease. But having a third dose, way better than having a second dose.
Dave O'Connor is a virologist at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. You can find more of his conversation with Sam Whitehead in the latest episode of Did You Wash Your Hands? Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. At Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms gave her congratulations at a ceremony for the first graduating class of a program meant to give more people access to jobs in the movie industry. WABE's Christopher Alston reports.
The inaugural class of the Set South Production Assistant Training Program included 15 students who learned the basics of working on a movie set. The free 4-week course is intended for adults in Atlanta who are unemployed or underemployed. Classes are taught by the Georgia Film Academy, and students are given help with job placement upon completion. The mayor's office said in a statement it hopes the program will diversify and expand the pool of Atlanta residents able to work on the many productions filmed in Georgia each year. The program was created through a partnership between the mayor's office and the nonprofit United Way, with funding from Disney. The city plans to expand the program to train 50 students per year. Christopher Alston, WABE News.
Thanks for listening to The Brief on 90.1.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.